Time for the legal.
Let's go to the legal.
Now, back to Stani and Guru on 95.7 The Game.
Nobody's perfect. Nobody's perfect. So, again, it's not a huge deal, but yeah, I thought it was kind of a weak look for the Niners.
I'm mad at you.
Let me ask you this. Let's say you're sitting in Arizona. It's Thursday. Wednesday or Thursday. You're Kyler Murray. And you hear, hey, did you hear what the Niners did? What? They want to wear white jerseys in Santa Clara instead of red jerseys because it's going to be 100 degrees. If you're Kyler Murray and you heard that, just...
I'm going to shock you, Stani.
What would you think?
It happens more than you think.
It does not happen in season. No. It does not.
No, Stani, I'm telling you, the Washington Redskins over the years, when Dallas would come, they would always try to wear a uniform where they were white to switch it up so Dallas would be in their blue and get tired from the heat.
I'm just telling you that that's changed, apparently. You know what uniforms you're wearing before the season for all 16 games. The Golden State Warriors right now know the uniforms they're wearing for 82 games. So my point is also, if I'm Nick Bosa, and maybe you don't even know anything about it. We're going to try to switch jerseys. It's just, what are you doing?
Yeah. Trying to get an advantage, partner.
Well,
you're trying to
get an advantage in a way that no other franchise really would consider at that point, that late in the game. I don't know. Just food for thought. 888-957-9570. Ross Tucker coming up in 10 minutes. Yeah, it makes the 49ers look soft.
Yeah.
It does.
I agree.
It doesn't sound like what a championship team would do.
No doubt.
Or a team that thinks
it came out
it's a championship
team. Thursday, 49er Frankie sent it to me, and I was like, did they really try to, like, is that serious? Like, what are you hiding from? Like, where do you feel deficient in other areas of this game to where you feel like the uniform switch, you know, would get you over the top? Champions don't think like that.
TJ's in the city. What's up, TJ? How you doing, man?
Gentlemen, thank you. You're both wrong. Who is the greatest organization at basketball sports?
Celtics.
They have 18 championships. No one else has 18 championships. The Boston Celtics in the 80s, were they worried about beating the Lakers? Yes, they were. Why? Because they turned off the AC in the Boston Garden
right.
So the Lakers would get hot and sweaty, and they turned off the AC in the locker room. Yeah. That's gamemanship.
That affects both teams.
Correct, but that team, you don't think that week the Celtics played in practice all week without the AC?
It's completely different.
And how many years ago was that, bro? How dare you call and pick something from 50 years ago to justify something that was soft? You turned your voice down. You know what we're talking about. This team's supposed to win a Super Bowl, and they're come on now. Losing to the Rams and Cardinals, and you want to talk Celtics. You know what we're talking about. Quit being weak.
You're talking about a team, you just said, we're the Niners, we don't do that. The Celtics are the most best. Let's go to football.
Hey, the Yankees, how about the Yankees, bud? How about the New York Yankees?
Who has the most Super Bowls? Who's tied for the most Super Bowls? The Patriots. Do they spy on other people? Do they deflate their footballs to win? You do what you do to win the game. And sometimes it goes across the line, sometimes it doesn't. You want something more recent? There's your Patriots, there's that. It's gamemanship. You talk trash. You do things to get into other person's heads to win the game.
So what did it say? How are they winning the mental game by asking the league to not be as hot in white jerseys? Like what psychological advantage did that give them? Because I would tell you that if anything, it hurt them.
Okay, that's your opinion. In my opinion, if I'm wearing black versus white, I'm going to be hotter and sweatier, and that's the advantage. And it's my choice.
But the schedule was the schedule 10 weeks ago. So
was the weather 10 weeks ago?
No, of course, but maybe you should have thought of that beforehand.
No, you're not thinking of, okay, so every game in October we're going to be wearing white because it might be this or that.
That's right, that's what they do. They're supposed to wear red in every game in October, from what I understand, when they're at home.
Listen, the Niners don't. You're not less thinking less by doing that. Just like the Celtics weren't thinking less by turning up the heat. Just like the Patriots weren't left for thinking of, let me do these things to get an advantage to win the game. If a player goes down and they hurt their ankle and they go on the football field because they're stopping the clock, that used to be something that was thought up against. Now it's a penalty. You're going to get a timeout taken away. It's gamesmanship.
Yeah, but forget
gamesmanship.
Hey,
gamesmanship does not supersede the game.
Go out there and play. And you know how you win? Is you block better, you run better, you catch better, you coach better.
Their pants were white.
Yeah, good God.
Yeah, the league helped them there.
Oh, man.
By the way, the Cardinals were in the sun the entire time. 49ers had the shade.
I'm uncomfortable talking about it. Like, that's not going to win you the damn game.
We're not a championship-level team right now.
Man.
That could be Nick Bosa.
And the Spurs did that to Miami when they beat Bron Bron. Remember? The AC went out and he was cramping. Allegedly.
I mean, I'm sure that Tampa Bay, when they play home games in September and October, take this into consideration.
Well, I didn't know what you had just brought up is actually, did it change that it's a mandate or you got to stick to it, you know, way back when? Because teams have done this, Donnie, to other teams, trying to do what the caller was alluding to, get an advantage. But I'm like, man, you just were at the Super Bowl. You've been to four NFC championship straight games. Come on, man. Wear your red.
Let's go to Antonio. He's feeling good. He's not panicking yet. What's up, Antonio? Give us a little dose of your optimism.
Yeah, so the uniform thing, I don't think it's that big of a deal. I mean, sometimes the Warriors want to wear the city jerseys or the Bay jerseys, the regular Warriors jerseys, you know. I mean, it happens. But at the end of the day, man, I think the Niners could easily be 4-1 right now. If Bell just catches the freaking football, if Jordan Mason doesn't fumble the football, you know, back-to-back game, or not back-to-back games, but, you know, those two games. And it's like when Jordan Mason, when you're right there and you fumble, it's almost like in baseball, bases loaded, one out, and you hit into a double play, inning over. You know, that's how it freaking feels. But like I said, I think we should be 4-1, y'all. So in the words of our rival Aaron Rodgers, R-E-L-A-X, relax.
You got to come for him, Stoney.
For who?
Antonio.
He did
what I did. The Warriors should have six chips. Come on now.
He only said games.
Well, he said they should be 4-1.
They kind of should be.
But they're not.
I know.
And panic is setting in.
But the 49ers are closer to 4-1 than the Warriors were six titles.
I don't believe that. Yeah. Up 3-1 and had Toronto.
They didn't have Toronto. They never led the series.
Whatever, man. Toronto's nothing. Like, how did he find that fast? How did he know on Tuesday I would say Toronto and they would have the button?
Because you referred.
I want a 30 for 30 on that.
Well, he's got
the
one.
Timing.
He's got a bunch for the
timing.
Giants. I mean, he's got a bunch for the Warriors.
This is
Blake Snell.
This Toronto? Stayed. And he fired it off.
Goo, you have that take for the Niners and the Warriors. So there's like nine buttons like that.
I know what fascinates me, man, and that stuff they do does.
That mother Evan.
Jonathan, San Francisco. What's up, Jonathan?
Hey.
How you doing, boy? Buddy? Boy,
hey,
buddy?
What's up, guys?
Hey, what's up?
Hey, Matt, I'm surprised you're not pounding on this when it comes to the 49ers. They're old. You know, the core that went in the Super Bowl in 2019?
Yeah.
Wow.
That's about a 5-year run. That's about an average of a run. Oh, if you're able to assemble a championship core in the NFL, you know, 5-year run, two losses in the NFC championship game,
yeah,
and two losses in the Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
Another thing is old is the offensive attack. If you look at their offensive attack, even with Jimmy, it's about the same thing. You can't do that in the NFL. In the NFL, you have to continue to evolve and be different. Another thing that's old, that wide nine gap scheme on defense. That thing is trash, man. I've never liked it. How are you with the defense giving away gaps? Aren't you supposed to eliminate bases?
Hey, Jonathan, let me ask you this. Jonathan, let me ask you this because you say, oh, and I'm being real. I know it's 22 players on both sides of the ball, but you got a quarterback that's a baby. You got Ayuk that's in his prime. You got Debo. You got Warner. You got Bosa. Those dudes are not old.
No, in football terms, man, they're old. You know why? Because they went on four championship runs, Guru. And then not only that, Debo, he's a gimmick wide receiver, bro. He's not really a wide receiver. Number two, Ayuk is a number two at best. Bro, they're paying two wide receivers top dollars. Wow. You could have had like a JJ. They should have invested in the offensive line because you have a quarterback like Purdy who's not strong arm and he needs that. You know, he needs time to, you know, to really deliver the ball properly. He's not like a Mahomes that he could deliver a ball without his legs because he has a strong arm. I mean, I don't know what Kyle's doing, but I'm not boiling down to this, man. This team doesn't have the championship DNA because if they did, they would have won already.
Ooh.
Well, it's, thanks, again, Jonathan. Stoney, and that's where I'm saying I'm at a 9, Richard's at a 10, Richard Sherman. I mean, it's 5 games, and you got one.
Like, where do you go? The reason I don't have it at that high is because what happens if they lose again? Like,
no.
You can't go high. Will Richard Sherman go to 11?
Well,
you know
what
I'm talking about?
We won't even need to ask.
You ever see that movie?
That is 11.
This one goes to.
That's Arthur.
11.
Arthur.
Nope.
Who is that? What movie is that?
It's
that's Arthur.
No,
that's how he talks.
11.
Pass me the Grey Poupon.
It's the Monty Python.
Spinal Tap.
Spinal Tap.
Thank you,
Spinal. Remember, they got the Stonehenge replica, and it was only.
I've never seen it.
It's a funny movie. Yeah. It's a parody of a rock band, and it's very funny. But it's a certain kind of humor.
Let's go to the legal. Dude, I love you for that because it is just a little insight into mentality. That's all about the whole uniform gate.
You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco, always live on the free Odyssey app, Twitch and YouTube, powered by First NorCal Credit Union.
We got somebody on the Comcast business text line, Stoney, taking issue with you and I about, and it's real, because what happened, what was the last turnover? Oh, God. They're mad we keep harping on the Mason fumble.
No, I'm not harping
when Purdy
on that.
Threw two interceptions, and one came after the Mason fumble. So
yeah, exactly.
We're not giving Purdy a pass. And I know Willard was saying he doesn't think the batted ball is an issue, Stoney, but I'm watching it moving forward because, you know, that is a thing. And that is a thing defenses could plan for. And real quick, I know it's not Seattle Day because it's coming in 2 days. McDonald was the defensive coordinator, the head coach for Seattle, for the Ravens last year when they came in here at Christmas and delivered some gifts. And they were the Grinch.
Yeah. All right, let's go out to the River Islands guest line. All guests on 95.7 The Game appear on the River Islands guest line. Isn't it time for you to discover the islands? River Islands in Lathrop on the line. Odyssey NFL insider Ross Tucker. Insider calls are brought to you by Hellman's Real Mayonnaise. Mayo game day, be delicious. Ross, welcome. How you doing, my man?
I'm doing pretty good. Where are those islands you're talking about?
On Lathrop, about an hour from the bay. It's
Big
a
Ross.
New community that's being built, and it is a wonderful opportunity for young families to get into the bay at perhaps a more reasonable housing rate.
Oh, well, that sounds good. That sounds amazing. I'm all in. I love it.
All right, let me throw this at you because we're having a little fun with it, but. So my understanding is that the NFL, you know what uniforms you're going to wear every week before the season. And the 49ers saw it was going to be 100 degrees in San Francisco, and they petitioned the league to go from their red jersey to their white, which would have meant the Cardinals had to go from white to red. And I just said, that's not a great look for a championship-type team. I don't know. That's just where I'm coming from. Any thoughts?
You don't like that the Niners wanted to switch their uniforms?
Nope, I don't.
I feel like teams will do whatever they think gives them any type of minimal, minuscule edge. And I can see how they thought wearing all white at home when it's that hot would have helped, because there is some truth to say. I mean, I can remember playing in Miami, and they would make us wear our home jerseys, our home dark Buffalo jerseys. The same thing the next year. No, maybe the same year. Same year we played in Jacksonville. It was hot. They made us wear our dark jerseys. So this is like a thing. This is like science. Steiny. I know you don't understand science, but that science, you get warmer when you have a darker jersey on. It absorbs the sun or whatever. So the Niners were just trying to do everything they could to try to give themselves a little advantage.
Ross, yeah, hold on. My sources tell me that it's very rare for a team to ask for a jersey switch a week before the game. That they, like in Tampa Bay, they probably wear their whites in September at home because they know.
No. You're 1,000% right. It's incredibly rare, which is why the NFL said no.
Right.
You don't do
gotcha.
It. But the Niners didn't know that in October in San Francisco, it was going to be 100 degrees.
Yeah.
So they're not going to ask for it. They're not going to ask to wear white at home in October in San Francisco. But then all of a sudden it's 100 degrees, and they thought, you know what? We're the home team. We should have the choice as to what we want to wear.
Right.
And the NFL said, sorry, no, you don't have the choice. You had the choice back whenever you had to submit what you wanted to wear.
Good stuff, Ross. I got to tell you, I don't need to tell you because you played in the league. What a difference a couple weeks make. Last time we had you on, I was Brock Purdy's a star. He's staring stardom in the face, and I still believe that, Ross, but some things have changed. They had a couple clunkers, but he's holding on to the ball a little longer. Steiny made the point yesterday in a couple callers. Maybe he's trying to do too much. I don't think that way, but I am concerned about the batted balls for interceptions. Ross, share with us what you saw last week from Brock Purdy. And where he's headed.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting because on the one hand, I've been somewhat impressed by his mobility,
mm-hmm.
right, and his ability to buy time and make guys miss. But on the flip side, to your point, Steiny, why is he having to do that all the time? You know what I mean? What's up with the Fran Tarkenton impersonation back there?
Wow.
You know, the whole point of Purdy was supposed to be that he's so smart and so comfortable in Shanahan's offense. And remember, in Shanahan's offense, there's always supposed to be the answer, right? There's always supposed to be an answer, no matter what the defense is. And what they love about Purdy is that he knows what Kyle wants him to do, and he delivers the ball. So I think the question we need to ask ourselves right now is, does Shanahan's offense not have the answer for some of the things these defenses are doing, or is Purdy not doing a good job of doing what Shanahan wants against some of these looks? Because that's the whole point. The whole point is, you know, no matter what the defense does, you have an answer in the Shanahan offense, which is why they love Kirk Cousins and Matt Schaub and Matt Ryan and all these smart quarterbacks that operate the offense, and that's why they love Brock Purdy. It's awesome timing. I actually had Mike Silver on my podcast today, Ross Tucker Football Podcast, and he's talking about Mike Shanahan and the whole tree and the whole deal. And so here we are. When Purdy's holding it this long, then we need some answers. I think that'd be a very fair question for someone to ask Kyle.
Mm. Hey, Ross, the thing about football I always find interesting is the Niners are 2-3 right now, and it feels like they've given away two games late. They needed to make one play out of 6 or 7, and they probably would have beaten the Cardinals, and they probably would have beaten the Rams. But that doesn't happen. So how do you differentiate between a little bit of maybe bad luck and not being able to close with, no, this is bigger, we've got some problems here across the board? How do you know what's little and what's a lot?
Another really good question. You guys are on fire today. You're having a good day.
Thank you.
You guys are having a better day than the Niners have been having.
And Robert Sala, too. Yeah.
yeah, exactly. You know, the thing, here's what I would say. Yes, they very easily could have won either one of those games, right? And we can look at it that way and say, oh, man, they could have won those games. But I don't know. I guess I look at it and say, Well, those games really shouldn't have been that close, first of all. You know, they're doing things that really good teams don't do. They had multiple two-score leads against the Rams team that had, like, nobody. Now, in fairness, the Niners didn't have a lot of their guys either, but they had most of their guys on defense. I mean, they didn't have some of their skill guys, but how is their defense giving up multiple two-score leads to a Rams team without Puka Nacua and Cooper Kupp? And I think that probably the most disturbing thing that we've seen is Sunday. It's not like they were clearly the better team than the Cardinals.
Man.
I mean, not at all, right? So, like, I'd almost feel better if they were clearly the better team, but there were some fluke plays that went against them. I didn't feel that way. I mean, they even got the blocked field goal return for a touchdown. You know, they, on some level, they had a fluke play go their way, and they still lost the game. So that would be the part that would really be concerning to me. It's always one of those things where it's like, what would you rather have? In other words, it's funny. I did the game last night, the Saints and the Chiefs, right?
Yep.
And I was talking with Mickey Loomis, the GM for the Saints, before the game. And in week three, you know, the first 2 weeks, the Saints were the best team in the NFL. And then week three, the Eagles kind of dominated them, but the Saints were still up late in the game with less than a minute left. And then, you know, Goddard had a big play and the Eagles won. And then the next week, the Saints absolutely dominated the Falcons, but Shaheed muffed the punt and they had a pick six that got tipped by three guys. It's almost like, which one is worse, when you dominate and still lose, or when you kind of got dominated but still had a chance to kind of steal one late? You know what I mean? Like, I'm not sure which one's worse. I guess if I'm a big Niners fan, the fact that Arizona, who had just gotten worked 2 weeks in a row at home, that they came into our place and we have everybody other than McCaffrey, and they're able to take us down like that. And in the second half, James Conner's running people over. Kyler Murray's making play. I think that's the part. I think the Cardinals' loss is more concerning than the Rams' loss, is I guess what I'm saying.
No, I hear you, Ross, and we're searching for answers out here. And you brought up Conner, who averaged 1 point yards per carry in the first half, and then 6.5 as Arizona got that fumble from Mason and just ran it down their throat to get in field goal range and win the game. And Bosa, after the game, Ross, I don't know if you heard it, he said they made a second half adjustment with their running game that we didn't. And I'm asking you again, a guy that played, do you know that? Average fans say, is it the coordinator, is it the scheme, or is it just the players? Because the Niners had 14 missed tackles Sunday. I know it was hot, but when you hear those stats, you know, what are you thinking about this D? I told Steiny it's not a championship, a playoff defense right now.
No, it's definitely not the defense that they had last year or the last couple of years. It's definitely not a Super Bowl caliber defense right now. You know, watching it on TV, I didn't see what Nick is talking about in terms of if there was a schematic thing. I mean, he made it sound like it's a schematic thing. All I saw, to be honest with you, Steiny, was James Conner running over dudes. Wow. Running right through dudes' faces. And it looked to me like that's the whole value, I think, of having a running back like James Conner, is people don't want to tackle him. I mean, he's an absolute beast. And so you keep giving him the ball, and what you notice is in the second half, he just wears people down. Number one, he runs through some tired guys. Number two, there's some guys that they don't want that. They don't want any more of hitting number six because it's like hitting a sledgehammer. Boy, he's one of my favorite players in the NFL.
Ross Tucker joining us on 95.7 The Game. Insider calls are brought to you by Hellman's Real Mayonnaise. You can purchase Hellman's at your local Walmart, Kroger, or grocery store to add extra deliciousness and creamy flavor to your game day dishes this football season. Let me ask you this, and obviously the Niners have been to the last, were in the Super Bowl last year, went deep the year before. I mean, is there any way to measure kind of the physical and mental toll of being early in a season in year three when you know how many games there are in a regular season and how long a road it is to get back there? How do you put that facet, kind of explain it to people?
No, there's not a way to measure it, Shiny, but it's absolutely a big thing. To me, it's a real thing that people need to talk about. I mean, they have collectively, think about how we always talk about like a running back that gets 400 touches, right? And like the last however many running backs that got 400 touches, the next year it's like they fell off a cliff. Well, the Niners and the Chiefs in particular, those guys have gotten a lot more touches, if you will, than all the other teams in the NFL. And I think, number one, it wears on you physically. Number two, it wears on you mentally. And then there's also this component of that, which is like, you know what, man, let's just get to January. You know what I mean? Like, let's just get to the playoffs and the games that really matter. Didn't used to be like that in the NFL, but I feel like it's almost becoming a little bit more NBA-esque, and that it's such a long season now that it's hard for certain guys, I would imagine, to not be thinking about, December and January football, but you got to get there first. And in fairness, I mean, the Chiefs are 5-0, and last night was probably their best performance of the season. So any excuse you would put into that regard, the Chiefs would have too, although it is weird why over time the Super Bowl winner always seems to fare better the following year than the Super Bowl loser, right? Yeah. I mean, it's just uncanny. You look at it over the years, Super Bowl winner, like the Chiefs last year, they had won it 2 years ago, and they slugged through for a while last year, then they win it. Meanwhile, the Super Bowl loser, the Eagles, got off to a fast start, and then they faded. It, for whatever reason, the Super Bowl loser, that Super Bowl hangovers seemed like a real thing.
Yeah. And Raj, you were talking about carries, and that's the one thing I questioned about Kyle Shanahan in a couple of these losses. He's gone away from his 25-year-old running back, Jordan Mason. I know he leads the league in carries, but just Sunday, Ross, they were 1-6 in the red zone. They're 9-22 on the year, good for 30th, but Mason had 14 touches for 89 yards, 6.4 yards a pop, but yet I didn't feel like the Niners did what the Cardinals did with Connor. Am I wrong to question Kyle? Like, I know McCaffrey's not here, but you got a 25-year-old Marion Barber. He reminds me of Steven Jackson, that elk. Why would Kyle not go to him more when he's this young and effective?
Yeah, that's a good question. And I would say, on the one hand, they were having a lot of success with Ayuk, and it was seeming like it was going to be a big Ayuk game, and maybe they just really liked their matchup, the Cardinals against the Cardinals corners. I can't really answer that. The Cardinals don't really have any pass rushers. So I think on some level, the thought is they don't really have very many good pass rushers. So we should be able to sit back and just light them up. And I think that's part of it. But only Kyle would really be able to answer that. But it's interesting because it feels like the Cardinals, over the course of the game, kind of out-physicaled the 49ers. And that, you don't see that very often. I mean, the Niners, they haven't always had that reputation. Even when, like, Montana and those guys are there, people would call them finesse. But over the last few years, they've been a very, very physical team. The way they run the ball and Greenlaw and Fred Warner lighting people up, but I thought Arizona was the more physical team on Sunday.
Yeah. Hey, Ross, thanks as always. Appreciate it, man. And we'll catch up with you in a couple weeks.
All right, see you guys.
Yes, sir. That was Odyssey NFL Insider Ross Tucker. Insider calls are brought to you by Hellman's Real Mayonnaise. Mayo game day, be delicious.
Yeah.
Ross Tucker.
Arizona brought the physicality. The Olivia Newton-John. The award goes to the Cardinals. That second half, Snotty, they ran it down the Niners' throats. And I don't know if this is a culmination of, hey, you played a lot. McCaffrey wasn't here in 19. You know?
What do you mean?
This stretch that the Niners are on doesn't involve the same cast of characters. Now, it applies to the workload that McCaffrey, and he had a big workload last year, but he hadn't been in this system since 19. This is kind of new stuff for him, and I know he's older, but again, he said a good question just to wonder or ponder why Mason didn't get the ball more. And I know Willard, and like only Willard can, brought up a good point, Donnie, saying, you know, watching the game, Goo, did you feel that way? But I'm like, if you're saying it and you're not the only one,
yeah.
Brock Purdy's leading the NFL, Stani, on holding the rock. And his Wi-Fi and processor was his best attribute. The question is, why is he doing it? Because that Fran Tarkenton stuff, and he mentioned it, that's going to get you beat. And they went to
four Super Bowls.
No, I'm just talking about Brock Purdy running around.
Fran went to four.
Oh, okay, got it.
Fran Tarkenton, Bud Grant.
He was a bad dude. Yeah.
Yeah, I can't quite explain it, but I do feel like the last 2 years, it's
taking
a
toll.
Yes.
Well, obviously your boy ain't played this year.
It's
McCaffrey.
But I think it's not only a physical toll. I do think there's something mental about how the 49ers right now have not gotten to a level of play where they can. Where they're just going to win if they meet a certain level of play, because it feels like now the opponent matters, because the opponent, like, they don't have as much room for error.
Well, you don't have guys like Armstead and Hargrave.
Well, they're not coming back ever.
No doubt. And we don't know if
they're done now.
Right.
So that would explain
why the defense is lacking, especially up the middle. Not making excuses, but those are big deals. We act like they were average Joes, and now I'm starting to look back on it like Armstead was okay against the run. So was Hargrave as much as I beat him up.
But this is what bothers me.
Yeah.
We probably brought up Eric Armstead's name three times all summer.
And maybe that was an error.
Exactly. Or we're just making excuses for him. We knew all along. Armstead's not on the team anymore. I mean, like, I don't know. It'd be like saying if the Warriors are 10-15, yeah, well, they don't have Klay Thompson. I know they don't anymore. Right. They don't. And they got to figure out a way to do it without Klay Thompson.
But they had ample time in the offseason to find a replacement, and they have. My whole point was, did we ignore the revolving door for the Niners in regard to the D-line last year with Randy Gregory, Chase Young? And this was when they still had – remember, I was like, this is a strength of the team. It's kind of odd they just keep bringing in guys. But maybe this is a result of that. Like, the depth never was there. It just appeared to be, and now the chickens are coming home to roost. I tell you what, you cannot let Seattle run the ball down your throat or attempt to do it like Arizona did it in the second half.
You know how many times you say that?
Say what?
Stuff like that. Like, Sonny, there's no way the Niners lose on Sunday to the Cardinals.
Oh, my pockets are hurting.
The 49ers run defense is not very good. Why wouldn't the Seattle Seahawks try to run the ball on the 49ers?
Well, I'm just expecting them to make an adjustment. Now I'm just wondering, do they have the necessary ingredients to make that adjustment? You could talk about it all day and change the color of your uniform or attempt to, but man.
Yeah. Armstead's not walking through I've heard about Armstead last 5 years, and no one's ever been saying, well, we got one of the best in the business in Armstead.
Armstead's great. Armstead's great. Sucked against the run last year with Armstead.
Like, I heard more people complaining about Armstead.
But you never know what you have until it's gone.
Well, nobody cared back when he was gone. Because, see, that's the thing. It's like, they don't have Armstead. Nobody really thought it was a big deal, but now it's apparently a big deal. So we were either wrong saying Armstead's not that good, or Armstead was that good, and we don't know how to evaluate football.
So Saleh gets fired, and I know this is make-believe. Do you think this defense would be performing better under his tutelage?
No.
I don't. I feel like the, he don't got
don't
the
know.
Same horses.
I have no idea. I don't know.
Well,
I don't know.
Well, Sorensen needs to figure it out.
I think the players need to figure it out. I really do.
But Bosa's saying that they didn't
make
the...
Make a tackle.
You sound like Bonte.
Make a tackle.
Hey, I'm just telling you what he said. They didn't make an adjustment to the half adjustment that Arizona made to their run game, Donnie. That was said. And to Kyle's credit, he kind of, what? That was just a generic answer. Like, what the hell is he talking about? And I mean, maybe that was his way of saying, hey, make a play.
Purdy, what grade would you give him this year? B minus. Ayuk, C minus. D plus. Bosa, C. Trent Williams, C minus.
So
Chavarius Ward, D. Those are your guys.
I'm not mad at
none
any of
them.
None of
them are playing
grades.
Great. Your stars are not playing great football.
But the question is, why?
Because maybe they've been overvalued. And maybe the course of the last few years has taken their toll on this team. And we look at Nick Bosa. He's one of the best defensive ends in football. And maybe, you know what? Maybe he's the 12th best defensive end in football. I don't know.
Wow.
You know?
Yeah.
Brock Purdy. He's good. But he left. There were two games out there where he could make a difference on the last drive of the game, and they didn't get it done.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's kind of what I'm starting to worry about if I'd be a Niner fan, is that these struggles are happening all over with different players each week, which tells me that they don't have enough guys who are playing consistent football week in and week out.
Yeah.
I mean, if Brock Purdy would have played last week, maybe like any of the other four games, they still might win that game. But they didn't, because other areas broke down along with Brock Purdy having just a so-so game.
Well, they said Fran Tarkenton and Stoney, three Super Bowls, Joe Capp was in the other.
Yeah, so I'm right. Yeah.
If that's what you want to do with that info.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah.
I wasn't trying to say you were wrong.
Take the sniffle.
I did it this morning. You didn't catch it. Yeah.
I didn't catch it.
Yeah.
By the way.
Somebody said they like my shirt.
By the way, all you. Let me see.
Say it. Say it with your chest.
No, I want to say it right because I try to get it right. You don't get a victory lap for what Ross Tucker said about the uniforms.
Oh, yeah. I believe what I believe. I'm with you on that. I'm not going against that. When you're the Billy Badass of the National Football Conference for the last, you are the man. Come on now, I didn't like it. That's all.
What's to like? There's nothing there to like.
And the worst part is you got beat. So now that's like you're deflecting in a way. Like, oh boy, hey, they better get it fixed in 2 days, man. And we'll be at the veranda in Concord.
See, that's the part that Ross said. I said. You know, he said, yes, it is extremely rare to petition for a new uniform the week of the game. It is. You knew all season what you were wearing.
And before this rule was implemented, you used to be able to just do it, Steiny.
Well, in this day and age where everybody's got five uniforms.
And helmets.
And the other thing is, that's the other thing. It was such a transparent petition that the league was like, hit the pike. The 49ers should know better than to even ask in that kind of situation when they knew the league would have told them to hit the pike. 888-957-9570 is the number. Coming up at noon, we got the Purdy prognosis, but we're open for calls on the other side. 888-957-9570. What's coming up next on the game is brought to you by First NorCal Credit Union.
A Hey, Spadoni, shut up!
Now, back to Steiny and Guru on 95.7 The Game.
I'm mad at you.
I've never met a bully that's insecure. You are a bully. The things that get
you mad.
He's
going to ruin the show right here. He's going to ruin the show right here.
We'll see.
I got a great text I have to share. Because I've noticed
49 here, Frankie.
No, Dodger
Relliford.
Pete. My boy Dodger Pete.
Dodger
went to
Pete.
Logan. Got drafted by the Rangers.
Okay.
Played all three sports. Yeah. Well, two, baseball.
Well, should have concentrated on one. Might have made it.
He liked my material about Colin McDonald, the head coach of the Seahawks, the Grinch.
Oh.
He says the book is out on Purdy.
Oh.
And they're blitzing just like the Ravens did last December. So we'll see, man. And I just don't like all of a sudden we're questioning, can Debo and IU get open? You don't pay a guy number 11, that is, $30 million.
If you say so.
But think about it.
I have, and it was not a good contract. Do you disagree?
No.
Okay.
I think IU is an asset.
Sure.
But are we now going to say Brock's hanging on to the ball because they're not getting open?
This is not the first time we've talked about separation.
Well, they said in the Super Bowl.
There.
Hey, and you know what? Real quick about last
night.
Let me
guess, he was open. I don't want to
go. No, Kansas City. Forget Mahomes and Kelsey and the young lady, R&B singer. I'm talking about their defense, man.
Yeah.
That's what we're omitting when we talk about the Chiefs.
Maybe they have better
their
players.
Defense.
Maybe they have a better scheme.
Oh.
Better scheme, better players.
I'm just saying, right now, there's a gap. Shout out Denham.
Big Smooth. Big Smooth's in Oakland.
Where's he been?
Maybe it wasn't Steve Wilkes. I'm just saying. I'm just throwing it out. Maybe. I'm just saying. Maybe it wasn't. Maybe it wasn't the fact that he's in the booth. He's in the booth. He's not in the booth. Anyway, that's not even what I call for. Listen, I'm a representative of the Raider Nation that's still in Oakland, twiddling our thumbs. I'm saying this. Let's head up. Forget that second, third rounder. We're giving you today Davante Adams for Ricky Pearsall. And we're willing to wait till the bullet wound heals. All due respect. Not trying to be funny. But listen, we'll take Ricky Pearsall. Because we're going to a Brett Bowers type of offense. We're going back to the days of Dave Casper.
87.
Branch. Boy, so 21.
We're going
that
back.
Ain't
going
to work.
So, but of course, we don't have the quarterback. But we're working on it. We're working on it. We'll give you Devontae. Devontae will help you guys out tremendously. And then just give us Ricky Pearsall. And you know, we're building for next year, unfortunately. But that's the way it's looking. But I do like the direction we're headed in. But I think we can help both franchises by making that trade head up. What do you guys say?
Ricky Pearsall can get you 20 a night.
Dude, I loved him with
just
Milwaukee.
Wednesday,
hey, I'll say this about that. Davante Adams should be the last locale or destination. You spend a first-round draft pick on Ricky Pearsall. You haven't been able to open that present. We understand why. Get healthy. But by all accounts, Donnie, you would think he's going to play at some juncture. And then you pay number 11, which I was in favor of, Brandon Ayuk, $30 million. You don't need a receiver. Unless the know-it-alls are starting to watch film, Bondi called the Niners team as a whole this morning when Shatsky and Bonte asked him, how would you describe the 2024 Niners? I almost crashed the caddy. You got it?
I got it.
Play it.
Slow. They just look slow, Joe. They look like a slow team.
What?
Like I don't see speed. I just don't see, like, it just the whole operation, the pass rush, the receiver, they just look like a slow team to me. Now, look, when you're 2-3, nothing feels good, and you start using superlatives like I'm doing. But if I'm finishing a sentence, that's what it looks like to me. And that's, you know, that's your team, though. Like, that's what it looks like to me.
Wow. Let's just talk
about
it.
They're old.
No, Steiny, stop. Like, that is cryptic if he's correct. That's what the film is telling. They just put Patrick Willis in the Hall of Fame for the. This was the best linebacker tandem in the league.
Greenlaw's hurt.
But you got the other half, and we got to give him an A minus. Fred Warner,
B plus after last game.
He was playing on one leg.
Well, that hurt.
But
then don't be out there.
If he's right, and you're, do you know how Steiny? When you're slow in any sport, that's a death sentence. Slow. I'm just saying, slow.
I look at the wide receivers too. He's talking about.
See, I'm in denial there. Come on, man. If he's correct, this happened overnight.
But
the Kyle Anderson.
This is what.
Slow mo.
I mean, probably happens faster in football than in any other sport, I would think.
Let me tell you who's not slow. J.P. Mason, the violent runner. Let me tell you who's not. Debo's not slow.
But they can't get separation.
Those end arounds, man. It's like they're played out, man. Mason for 8, Mason for 9. Debo, here you go. It's around for a loss. Like, it doesn't fit. Did you really need to get that cute at that time? I don't know. Got a game in 48 hours. Eddie Murphy.
We're out of 42 here, righty? 42.
Ronnie
so
Lott.
I'm going to push some calls to the other side so as to give them
I thought we'd decide that as
time.
A show. You don't just... decide.
Do you know how many people are on hold
it by
right
Evan
now?
And I? Yeah. Lot.
Okay. If you want to take a call, take a call.
No, I don't.
And then you'll be able to cut them off in 13
seconds.
I'm trying
to pick at you. You didn't bite.
No, not at all.
You didn't bite.
Not at all. Because you're still using a scouting report from 2018 on the Niners.
If you said 21, you would have had some.
Well,
dude, I'm in denial.
About what?
The speed, the talent, and the health. Stoddy, you're not going anywhere if McCaffrey doesn't touch this field this season. That's
okay.
One.
Well, then
and Greenlaw,
no
too.
Okay.
Put that in the cap.
Here's where you and I are different. Then why are you worried about it? If they don't get McCaffrey and they don't get Greenlaw, they're hosed.
I didn't think.
So don't worry about it.
Because it was a strength in numbers. Stoddy, I really believe that. It was a strength in numbers. I didn't think we would see, red sirens this early. 9 of 22 in the red zone. Let's be real. Are they calling the best plays? Would Andy Reid, without McCaffrey, would they still be 9 of 22? You don't run the damn ball with a violent runner back there. Run the damn rock. And if it's a turnover on downs, you went with the smartest, handed to a 250-pound specimen.
I'd like you to focus on solutions on the other side.
I just gave it to you.
What?
Give the ball to the beast mode. Baby beast mode.
You said you weren't going to do that anymore. You'd used it for the last time.
Yeah.
And I'm just trying to help you out, because every time you say that, we get a lot of texts from people saying, stop comparing an undrafted player.
I live and do my radio show, our radio show, predicated on those people, Jackals.
I dare you to not read any texts during the show.
Hey, I saw a Twitter thing that said, at Steinman Sports. It was sent to me. Is that you? Making a comeback.
What's coming up on the game? Presented by Fremont Bank. Celebrating 60 years of full-service banking with no compromises, that segment was brought to you by Safeway.